Welcome to another thrilling episode of Sitting Around Talking Pictures. I'm Neil Rosen, joined as always by Bill Brigoli.
They let me in again.
And Bill McCuddy.
I'm wearing a shirt this week.
And special guest from IndieWire, Karen James.
Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. This is a special show. Why is it a special show? Why is it a special show, Bill?
why is this night different from all others?
Okay, because we
it's
are
the
going...
Oscars.
It's right, because unlike most shows, which make predictions the week that the Oscars come out, the Oscar nominations came out last week, and we're the first out of the box with telling you who we think should win and who we think, who we want to win and who we think will win.
Before we embarrass ourselves dramatically every year,
right,
coming out way ahead of the curve.
Right. So before we even get to, and we're going to do a whole ton of categories, and we're usually pretty right on this stuff. I want to tell you that if you are in an office pool or Vegas betting or whatever you're doing, our track record is really, really good on this. So that said, before we get to the predictions, I would be remiss if I don't lead the show with talking about the big controversy that's going on these days with the snub, where it's the second year in a row in all the acting categories, where it's all white nominees. And we're taping this podcast on Wednesday, January 20th. Yesterday, Jada Pinkett Smith said that she's boycotting the Oscars, and Spike Lee said that he's boycotting the Oscars. They asked for Chris Rock, who's the host this year, to step down. Chris Rock said he wouldn't do it. I think that's a good idea, by the way, just for the record.
Jada Pinkett Smith is upset that her husband wasn't nominated.
Yes, yeah.
For a really bad performance and a bad movie, by the way.
Confession,
yes.
Right.
Yeah,
I agree.
Maybe she wasn't the one to step out.
Exactly.
You know, but
they're worse snubs.
But, you know, Chris Rock, you know, humor is such a powerful weapon, and I think Chris Rock is the guy. I mean, he's taken on so many subjects. I mean, who else could, he did a Freedom Tower 9/11 bit. I mean, it's so politically incorrect. And he even told me once
he'll be great, but that's a tough room. That's a really tough room. And
yeah,
if he beats them over the, I think he's going
to be
great.
Address this controversy.
But he can't beat them over the head with it. It can't be a running gag through the whole show, or it'll be a problem. I'm going to remind you of the fact that when he hosted before, he got pulled off. In other words, they have a plan B when they produce that show, which is if the host isn't doing that well, they get rid of him halfway through the show, and they use announcers to bring on everybody after that. And, you know, he was, you remember the Jude Law thing, and he went down some roads that weren't popular, and he wasn't considered a great host. I think he's a good choice this year, and I think it's unfortunate that there isn't more representation. But there weren't a lot of great movies.
What's your take on this whole controversy, Karen?
I think he's a great choice for host.
Reginald Hudlin, who's also African American, is producing the show.
Chris Rock is a producer. They could do a lot more. And I also think he's not playing to the room. He's really playing to the TV audience, and that's the audience he really needs to reach. I hope that for that opening bit where they do a little film thing, he brings in all the people who were snubbed who deserve to be nominated.
That would be great.
Like people from Creed, Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler, Idris Elba.
Idris Elba deserved a nomination.
Spike Lee was so robbed for Chi-Raq, which was the most inventive film of this year. It wasn't really in the mix of nomination possibilities, but it was a great film. So I think, yeah, the Academy really needs to sort of wake up and look at these movies that they just kind of grandfather in people like Steven Spielberg every time he makes a movie, and that's just lazy.
Why is this happening, Brigoli?
Karen put it well. They're grandfathering in people.
They are grandfathers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, two.
Yeah, well, the
average age is between 84 and death.
God. And it's a predominantly white voting
yes,
body.
Yes, it is. If we were in an Academy luncheon right now, we'd be ordering off the children's menu. We're too young to even consider.
Wow. Wow.
They're trying to change that. They're letting 322 new people in this year. That's the first time they've made the numbers that big. And there's an initiative called A2020 that the Black president of the Academy is trying to get more minority representation in over by the year 2020. But let me just say one thing about Idris Elba. Good movie. But that's not the reason he wasn't nominated.
Why wasn't he
Netflix
nominated?
Netflix is the reason he wasn't nominated.
I was going to say.
They're scared to death of Netflix.
The same with
they
Chi-Raq.
Don't know what it is. Chi-Raq,
really?
To a less extent, it wasn't sent out. Chi-Raq didn't really campaign. It's almost as if Spike
that's
Lee didn't
true.
Really try, and now he's getting to pretend he's mad. He's not going to go. He's getting an Oscar. He got it in November at a special governor's ball. He's not going to show up. So like Elijah, there'll be an empty seat there for him that I'm sure Chris Rock will make fun of. But they're scared to death of Netflix. They don't know what to make of it yet, and that's why they're not honoring that movie this year.
I was also wondering if Netflix doesn't know how to sell Do an Oscar campaign.
Well, they didn't campaign very well.
Well, that's you know, you can blame
some parties. Come on, you guys. They had dinners here and a well, premiere. Yeah.
Well, you could
maybe that's a mistake.
You could blame, and they certainly deserve blame. This body of Oscar voters, which does not represent the demographic that it should be representing, but also the studios. You know, we get a lot of screeners because we vote for Critics' Choice Awards, and I don't know. You vote for what? Do you vote for?
I don't vote for anything.
You didn't used to vote for New York Film Critics.
No, I never was in that group.
Oh, well, they campaign hard, as you know, for these things, and you know the studios did not put a multi-million-dollar ad campaign, and they're very political behind Concussion or behind you know some of these other movies.
They did a little more on Straight Outta Compton. They did nothing for Shrek.
They really
did a little for Straight Outta Compton. They did nothing for Creed. Creed surprised everybody, and then all of a sudden, Stallone turned up everywhere, and he got a nomination. But that's another pity. I mean, look, it's Black History Month that the Oscars going to play in, and we got Chris Rock hosting, and that's about it.
All right, so speaking about Best Supporting Actor, okay, you know, the nominees here are Christian Bale for The Big Short, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, Mark Ruffalo for Spotlight, Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone for Creed. And although I don't want this to happen, I believe that Sylvester Stallone will win for Creed.
Now, why don't you want that to happen?
Because it's the same damn performance for the last... He's played this role for 40 years, and you look at this performance, all of a sudden, everybody's on this Sylvester Stallone train. It's like, oh, what a great performance.
He never won an
Creed.
Oscar.
Now, look at Rocky Balboa, the movie that came out, like, what was it, 2004, Karen? Or around there. I mean, it's the same. He's sitting at the grave.
Why does it matter?
Because he's sitting at the grave site. And, Adrian, the restaurant, they didn't deliver the veal chops to the restaurant, Adrian. It's the same stupid performance. Why is this year it's being honored? You know what I mean?
It's a whole different film. It's a much better film.
It's Rocky 1, rebooted with Michael B. Jordan. And he's playing the Burgess Meredith character.
Who cares?
It's a good popcorn movie reboot. And it would be a really different movie without Stallone in it. If he were not there, it would be a completely different movie. He sort of makes it work in the way it does.
He made it work from the standpoint of got it made. I mean, they had to go to him and get his permission.
That's right. And he was smart. I don't know who nudged him. Maybe one of the producers. But somebody was smart to say, hey, Sly, you need a new audience. You need some young black people to come see your films. Otherwise, you're not going to make a whole lot of money anymore. And that's probably what woke him up. And it also, a fresh set of eyes to the Rocky franchise was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And don't kid yourself, Neil. All these people who were talking about being so old are thrilled that he can still do that role. They're thrilled that they saw that in 1975 or
77.
And now they're seeing it again. They're like, they're feeling young again.
Well, you know, it's I don't understand what the fuss is. I mean, you could make the same fuss. I don't think the performance is that different. If we're going to honor a performance, then it was in Rocky Balboa or Rocky V. I mean, he's not stepping into the ring, although he did step in the ring, was it 2 years ago with Robert De Niro for a grudge match? That was a horrible movie. But, all right, look, I'm not going to be sad to see him win. It is a sentimental lifetime career achievement kind of Academy Award. To me, I thought Mark Rylance, and he has no shot of winning, although, as you said, Bill, we do a television show every week called Talking Pictures on Demand, and it's our Oscar show this week, sort of an after show to this podcast is sort of an after show to that particular television show, which airs in New York locally on New York One and nationally on Time Warner Cable. And Bill, you made the point about Mark Rylance being the front runner initially.
When Bridge of Spies came out, everybody was like, it's an okay movie, but that Mark Rylance, he's gonna win the Oscar. He was the front runner. Nobody remembers
that. He's a multi-Tony Award-winning actor. He gave the single greatest performance I've ever seen on stage in a play called La Bette. American movie audiences are now first discovering this guy. He steals the movie. I mean, there's a character in Bridge of Spies.
Would it make a difference?
You know, no. I mean,
that's the Coen brothers who wrote those.
Yeah, that's right. He's the enemy. I mean, and you actually feel sympathy for this particular character.
But it's kind of a one-note performance, I have to say. He's a great actor, but I don't think that's by far the best.
Yeah, I agree.
And Stallone is not a one-note performance?
No, he's kind of emotional in that movie. He really brings something to it.
All right, so you like
it. Cancer.
All right, so at Christian Bale, too much showboat, not going to... Stallone has got to...
Oh, no, Christian Bale's the upset, if there's anything.
No. Mark Ruffalo.
I think Mark Ruffalo... Tell him why, Karen.
Infinitely Polar Bear.
Right.
Which is a great little movie nobody saw. It's on demand now.
It is a great movie.
It's one of his best performances. I don't think that that Spotlight is one of his best performances, but he gets the big screaming, crying, getting mad scene. So that's Oscar bait. I think if there's an upset, it's Ruffalo.
All right.
Jacob Tremblay should have been there, by the way, for Room.
Jacob Tremblay, be it actor or be it supporting actor for Room, I think is the best performance of the year, period, in any category. And he doesn't even get nominated. Thank goodness the Critics'
Choice. What are you, Red Buttons? Never had a dinner.
Yeah.
Never had a dinner.
Thank goodness that the Critics' Choice Award had a category Best Young Performance.
Yes.
And I liked his speech. It was cute.
The kid gives great speeches.
He was very good. So Best Supporting Actress, Jennifer Jason Leigh, The Hateful Eight, Rooney Mara for Carol, Rachel McAdams for Spotlight, Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl, and Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs. Bregoli, who do you think is going to win this category?
I think it's going to be somebody who should have probably been Best Actress nominees, Rooney Mara, but they're playing category switches, and it's more of an actress role than a supporting actress role, but she has the most to do of any of them.
That movie didn't get nominated for Best Picture. That means she and Kate Blanchett are dead, I think.
It's really a quiet performance, too. I think it's going to be Alicia Vikander for Danish Girl. I think she should win.
I thought that it was going to be Rooney Mara for the longest time, but, you know, you got to look at the... In this, there's an award season, you know, and you have to see what wins all these other awards. And she won the Critics' Choice. Yeah, no, she won the Critics' Choice Award, Alicia Vikander. I think she's going to win, although I wish she would have been nominated for Ex Machina instead of The Danish Girl.
Yeah, but they think of those things, Neil. We've talked about this before. It's all about you can't break up Infinitely Polar Bear for Mark and not say that she's going to get the nod because of the two things she made. A lot of people saw it.
So why, Karen, why did they nominate her for The Danish Girl? And not, I mean, if it is going to be a composite award, why did they put her up for Danish Girl the next? Is it a more prestigious film?
Two different studios. So The Danish Girl got more of a push in a lot of categories. And also, she's nominated in the one that she can win in, because that is a more, it's a less restrained performance. She's a robot in Ex Machina. It's really good, but it's a different kind of performance.
She's
so
one,
I think she can
one
win
attractive robot.
For it.
Let me tell you.
I'm going to say
she's the reason Eddie Redmayne got nominated.
No,
that
he
without her performance,
because he wears a dress.
Well, I don't know. I think the performances were very good in The Danish Girl. The movie is creepy. The movie has a lot of problems.
I like that movie at the start. I don't think it's the best movie, but Redmayne is great in it. And I think in another year, if he hadn't just won, he would be a real contender here too.
I think it's
very close between Rooney Mara and Alicia Vikander. I would say if I had to bet, I would say it's going to be Alicia Vikander. But if Rooney Mara wins, I would not be surprised.
Vikander wins, I say.
You say Vikander wins. Before we get on to some other major categories, let's take a look at some other categories. Best Animated Feature, I think this one's a lock. Karen, what do you take it?
It's a lock for Inside Out, which is a brilliant film. I really like it a lot. I wish that Anomalisa, Charlie Kaufman's film with puppets about relationships, had really been nominated in the Best Picture category.
That movie's unwatchable.
I love that movie.
I know. It's unwatchable.
I agree with Phil on that one.
Really?
God.
That annoyed me.
Think about if it wasn't puppets, Karen. If it was just that story.
But it was puppets.
But damn it, it was puppets. No, but
I would have liked the story even without puppets. But
in a hotel room over a weekend?
Sure, why not? They're in strange.
Did you like the puppets, Bregoli?
Not at all.
I totally admire it, by the way. I'm totally in admiration
of
what it did.
Charlie Kaufman's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is one of those brilliant films. And then, you know, when he directed, was his directorial debut a Synecdoche?
Oh, Synecdoche, New York.
Synecdoche.
Synecdoche.
Yeah.
This is infinitely better than that.
This is way better,
Yes, the Synecdoche. Synecdoche, whatever it is.
But his puppet sex scenes go. Team America Rural Police was actually more fun.
As puppet sex scenes go, I prefer the one from Trey Parker and... I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Oh, pardon me. I'm looking at the next category, which is Best Documentary Feature. And it was a weak year, I think, for documentaries. But I'm going to say that I think Amy, the documentary on the late Amy Winehouse, is probably going to win, although I wasn't dancing over that particular film. What do you think?
I agree with you. It's going to win. The music documentaries almost always win. They're easy to watch.
What about Miss Simone then? Those two could actually cancel each other out, that and Amy. I wish Maru were there.
More people saw Amy. I think Amy definitely has it. It's a lock. But I agree, it's a weak year for documentaries.
Yeah, it's a weak year. What do you think, Bergoli?
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Amy. People like it. They like a documentary they can tap their toes to.
Okay, best foreign language film. What do you think? What do you think, Bergoli?
Yeah, here's show me the list.
Here's the list.
I'm going with Mustang.
You go. Mustang is a good movie, but I don't think it's going to win.
I think Son of Saul is a lock.
I think Son of Saul is a lock,
Aaron
too.
And I said the same thing about Mustang on the show today. I think Son of Saul is one of the most overrated movies of the year.
I think Son of Saul is not a great movie. Some people love it. Joanna Langfield made it her best movie of the year. I think that the subject matter is harrowing. I give the director credit for, it's about a guy who's, a Jew in Auschwitz who has the job of leading people into the gas chambers and then putting them in the ovens, and his whole the story surrounds the fact that it's not really his son, although they make you think that it might. He kind of adopts this kid who's, and he wants to find a rabbi to give him a proper burial. But I think there's problems with the screenplay. But
it's a much better version of this called The Gray Zone that Tim Blake Nelson made about 10 years ago.
I think Son of Saul is a really good film, and I think the director is terrific, and I do think it's a lock. But I also think Mustang, which is the French entry, even though it's about Turkish girls who are trying to escape their repressive uncle, I think that's also a really strong contender. But I don't think anything's going to knock out Son of Saul.
All right. Before I move on to actor and actress, Star Wars, I think that Mad Max is going to sweep these technical categories. Visual.
It got 10 or 11. It's the second most.
It's going to get visual effects, production design, sound editing, film editing, blah 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 blah. Why do you think that Star Wars, and do you agree with me first of all that it probably will?
Well, the Academy, I agree about the sweep or in the tech
in
areas.
The tech, right.
Although I think they nominated Star Wars for a couple of small tech things, they desperately wanted that in the best picture category.
The Academy and
ABC, because they wanted that audience to show up and see the Academy Awards this year.
Why did they snub Star Wars, and why will it be snubbed?
It came out really late, for one thing, so that was part of it. And I also think if you look at Mad Max, it really reboots that franchise in a different way. And Star Wars continues something in a really familiar way. It does it really well. It's entertaining, but I don't think it seems as fresh.
Yeah, that's well said.
As Mad Max.
Yeah, all right, so for Best Actor, or let's start with Best Actress, actually. Ladies first. Cate Blanchett for Carol, Brie Larson for Room, Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years, and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn. Bill, what do you...
45 Years takes that long to watch. That's not going to happen. I like Charlotte Rampling, but this seems to be... It's either Saoirse Ronan or I think it's going to be Brie Larson.
I hope it's Brie Larson for sure. I think it should be. And 45 Years is my second favorite film of the whole year. I love that film. I think more people should watch that. If there's an upset, it would be Charlotte Rampling, but I think it's definitely Larson.
Bergoli, who do you think?
I think it's going to be Brie. She seems to have some momentum going. And maybe this year they want to honor the newer people.
I think it's Brie Larson's year. I would be happy with that win, although my favorite performance in the category, as Bill said, is Saoirse Ronan. I think that despite the terrific performance of Brie, Saoirse goes through, and I said this on the show today, I'm repeating myself, if you saw the TV show, that she goes from this innocent, homesick, dependent waif of a girl who comes to New York from Ireland.
And then meets a guy and becomes dependent on him. Yeah,
she's a real journey. York sophisticate
it's
by
a real
the end of the
journey.
Movie. And there's all these transitions in between. She's convincing at every turn, and there's so much expressiveness in her eyes. It's a much more subtle performance. Room is the showier performance, but I think that Saoirse is just... And the Academy doesn't like subtlety. They like,
absolutely.
look at how Robert De Niro gained all this weight for Raging Bull, and he's they don't like they like showy stuff, and it's
right.
So subtle. Saoirse is, if you really study acting, that's an amazing performance. And look, Brie Larson, good performance, but it has connects more of the dots that they're looking for. Look how she breaks. Well, I don't want to give away plot points if you haven't seen Room, as most people haven't seen Room.
Coming out on demand next very shortly. As are a lot of the movies we're talking about.
It's one of the lowest grossing movies, by the way, in years. I read a
Locker
thing.
Locker made nothing.
Even lower than that.
$5 million.
But Room's a good movie. You guys should check out Room. So
my favorite film of the year, as a matter of fact.
Mine too.
Well, we'll get to that. Best actor, Bryan Cranston in Trumbo, Matt Damon in The Martian, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, Michael Fassbender in Steve Jobs, and Eddie Redmayne, as we discussed previously in The Danish Girl. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is the lock here. You know, I think this is, what do you think?
He grew a beard, he got rid of that baby face, and that's what's going to get
He had sex with a bear.
He's drooling saliva.
He and the bear are now dating.
He grunts because his larynx is kind of like ripped apart
for a third of the horse.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Of course. And no one can sleep in a horse, of course.
That was an Airbnb booking, too, by the way.
They say that, you know, good-looking actors generally don't win the Oscar, you know, like for pretty boy performances.
Yeah,
see, my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio performance is Catch Me If You Can. You know, I mean,
that's
The Revenant.
Ridiculous.
The Revenant is, look, he does a very good job. I mean, you know,
he grunts.
He grunts a lot, and I mean, you know, I think he was trying to win the Oscar as he was shooting the movie. You know, I think it was kind of designed for that in some regards. But I think if you're betting at home,
I think that's the lock of the
evening. If you look at all the movies that he's done, they're going to honor him for this. And, you know, it's not like...
And by the way, while we're talking about this movie, and we didn't talk about it in supporting, the shock of the night, really, one of them is Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy is also in this film, and he also got nominated for Best Supporting
Actor.
Yeah,
that shows the strength of that movie this year, I think, though. I think it's going to win more awards than any other single film.
And it's got the most nominations.
Yeah.
It's got 12, and all in the past 15 years, 7 movies that had the most nominations have always won Best Picture.
Would Eddie Redmayne be, if he did not win last year, would he be more of a competitive force
Maybe.
In this particular category?
Maybe.
I don't think for that film so much. That film doesn't have a whole lot of support. I think that, I don't know, I think it's sort of a moot point. Leo's going to win.
Okay, so let's move on to Best Foreign Language. Oh, we did Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to win the screenplay awards, Karen? Let's start with original screenplay, and then we'll do adapted screenplay.
I think original is going to be Spotlight. And I think it's really smart. It's not my favorite film of the year. I know it's yours. But I think it's a really smart screenplay. And I think it probably should be Inside Out, which is really inventive and spot on psychologically and really fresh.
That would be such an upset. Not an upset, but that would be such an unprecedented thing if Inside Out won. That would be kind of cool.
That would be fascinating, actually.
But I think it's not going to happen. I think it'll be Spotlight. And I think the others, Bridge of Spies is not a great screenplay. Ex Machina is not going to win anything, probably. Straight Outta Compton, I don't know. It's amazing it got nominated.
That's the one bone that it could be thrown.
Yeah. Maybe.
But it's white people that wrote.
Yeah.
So that would even be rubbing salt in the wound.
It didn't take 5 minutes for this nomination to come out for everybody to go, oh, they got a nomination. Oh, no, they didn't because the two white people wrote it.
Right, so wouldn't that be rubbing salt on the wound? I mean, all of a sudden Straight Outta Compton wins and two white people who wrote the screenplay get up. So even that, the African-American
population. Imagine being those two people and going up to get the award that night.
You know, that would be a very...
Chris Rock would come over. You want me to hold this for you?
Who's winning best original screenplay, Bergoglio?
Best original.
You want to think about it? I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to say. You know what? Maybe Bridge of Spies.
Really? I doubt
because
that.
Because they like the Coen brothers.
But they co-wrote it with somebody else.
Yeah,
and Spielberg. I will make the argument that the Spielberg factor might give him one thing since we don't think Mark Rylance is going to win.
I'm going with Spotlight, and because it's a movie which is all about writing that made a difference in the world. So a movie about writing should make a difference in the writing award category, and I think that's going to win.
By default, that wins.
And best adapted screenplay. I'm going with The Big Short, even though I would love, again, Nick Hornby. Brooklyn, I would love to see that win because I just love that movie. It's my favorite movie of the year. That and Ties kind of one and two, Brooklyn Spotlight for me. But I say adapted screenplay, Big Short will win, Adam McKay. And the other writer on that was a guy by the name of Charles Randolph. But it'll win because it has momentum. But I don't think it's a great screenplay. I think it's more like a seminar. You know, it's a seminar on the housing crisis bubble.
Yeah, it was the most fun seminar. When was the last time you went to a seminar and they had Margot
Robbie?
I think the genius genius of the screenplay is that it takes that subject and makes it funny and cool and interesting.
And I think that's why it'll win, actually.
Yeah. I think after half an hour, I was bored. I was like, I got it. And I know that the market's going to collapse anyway, and I know that these guys, for the most part, aren't going to pay. Almost all of them are not going to get bailed out. And there's no backstory, any character development.
Somebody also said there's really nobody to root for in the film. So
there is nobody to root for.
That's going to hurt it maybe as for Best Picture, but I think it's going to be okay in screenplay.
All right, let's do the big one. Best Director and Best Screenplay. Okay, go ahead, Karen.
This is a really tough call. I think in both categories, it's going to come down to Spotlight versus Revenant. And I know you guys disagree with me, but I think Iñárritu is going to win Director, even though he won last year for Birdman. They're completely different movies. Revenant is a big, complicated movie to make. He's a brilliant director. I think it's going to be Iñárritu for Director, and maybe Spotlight for Picture, because it's going to make them feel good about themselves to go for something that's kind of crusading and noble.
Bill, tell us why Iñárritu will not win Best Director this year.
Well, I just think they won't do it 2 years in a row.
Correct.
I think Ridley Scott, I mean, they've only done it two other times in history. This could be the third, yes. But I think the fact that Ridley Scott, who everybody said was going to win, didn't get nominated.
Correct.
Will probably mean that the tradesman here, the man who has year after year put out great product and resurrected his own project, is George Miller. And I think George Miller has a really good shot at winning in a split year, because I don't think Mad Max is going to win Best Picture. I think that's going to be Revenant. And I think Iñárritu gets to be a two-year winner by getting the picture winning and not the director.
Mad Max is on demand if you're interested, and so is The Martian. Some people think The Martian, because it's such a mass appeal movie and made so much money, might pull off a Best Picture.
That's fallen out of the atmosphere. That was true. You're right. That was true 4 weeks ago. Matt Damon's going to win.
Matt Damon's not winning. That's not happening.
And Ridley Scott was supposed to win, and maybe Martian would win. That heat has died.
Before I chime in here, who do you think Broccoli's going to win Best Director, and who do you think's going to win Best Picture?
I think Iñárritu again, unless they decided to give to Miller. It's one of those things I'd love to see who come in second.
And Best Picture?
Best Picture, I'm going to go with my favorite Spotlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
Lost at the Globes.
I think.
Yeah.
Revenant.
I know.
Okay. In almost all cases, like 98% of the time, the winner of the DGA, the Directors Guild Award.
So that's February 6th.
Right. Wins the. Right. So if you're listening to the podcast after February 6th or before February. Just
listen to how wrong we're going to be.
No, just we'll see who wins that DGA award. That's your winner of, in all probability, of Best Director this year at the Oscars. But I'm saying that for the reasons that you stated, Bill, that Iñárritu will not win for The Revenant, but he will. George Miller, I believe, will win, because it's gotten a lot of Oscar nominations, predominantly in technical categories, and he's got the momentum, and he just won the Critics' Choice Award, and that's very indicative of what will happen. So, and it's going to win more for visual artistry than for substance or story. As you guys know, I was not a big fan of that film, but I have to admire it from a visual perspective, and I think Miller will win. For Best Picture, it's a two-picture race. It used to be a one-picture race, which was Spotlight, and now it's a two-picture race between The Revenant and Spotlight.
I think it's more wide open than that, but I continue.
I think Spotlight is going to win because its subject matter. The Academy, you know, if possible in any given year, they like to give it to a movie where it's substantive and it means something. It's a very important story. I mean, here's a true story, based on a true story about the Boston Globe, which uncovered a scandal which was going on.
I'm sorry, the Phoenix uncovered it.
But
that's true. The Phoenix broke the story a year earlier. But that's all right. The movie, and by the way, the same people who went to see The Globe went to see The Phoenix. That guy with the big box of evidence that they actually start to believe and start to. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well,
that smear campaign has not been successful. Spotlight is one of the.
I've heard
contenders.
That thing about The Phoenix, but you know, but
no, they cop to it.
But it didn't blow up. I mean, it wasn't
exactly.
like the scandal.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, there are people that do things. And, well, I did that, you know, I invented the MP3 player first. You know, why is the iPod? But very few people had the MP3 players. The iPod.
No,
so I'm saying the Phoenix
saying.
Might have brought the. Look, if you look
the
at Spotlight,
did the
Globe did a watered down version of that story. If you see the movie years earlier, which did not really get any traction. It's that Boston Globe story that really, really changed the world and uncovered, you know, and brought to light this scandal of these pedophile priests, which was going on for, you know, centuries, if not for thousand years.
Right.
And then the cover up subsequently by the Catholic Church. And, you know, Liev Schreiber, who plays the new editor of the paper, says, no, we can't just go after one priest. We've got to make this global. And if you watch that movie, it shows you that all the countries, those credits at the end where these scandals have come to light. It's an incredible movie
it's
on that level.
It's the movie
level.
We're told we should pick
and so,
as best picture. There's no
No, I love the picture.
That.
It's a great movie. Defend me here, Karen.
No, not at all. Because I think the story is what you guys are responding to, and it's a very pedestrian piece of filmmaking. It's
yeah.
very
no, I
solid,
love
but
the film.
It's not a great film.
Yeah. What do you think of the film?
That's a good point. I would love to see... The Big Short sneak in there.
It's not winning.
It's important. But I'm just,
No. Yeah. I think there are four movies to consider.
And what are those four movies?
The two you've mentioned, plus The Big Short and Mad Max.
Well, I think it's, as I said, it's between Spotlight and The Revenant. And if The Revenant wins, I mean, how could that? I mean, you compare the subject matter. First of all, I disagree with you, Karen. I think it's a captivating movie. The cast is great. I mean, look at this cast. You have John Slattery and Liev Schreiber and Michael Keaton, who, by the
and
way,
it
Michael
needs
Keaton
because it's such a pedestrian film.
And Mark Ruffalo and Rachel McAdams and Stanley Tucci. I mean, and Brian D'Arcy James. It's an incredible cast. I was captivated with the story from beginning to end. I think it's really well executed. And by the way, Michael Keaton, when the movie came out, was the front runner to win because he got slighted last year for not winning for Birdman. And everybody
right.
said, Michael Keaton is the lock to win Best Supporting Actor. He doesn't even get nominated. What happened right. What happened there?
Because Mark Ruffalo is the one who has the big, angry yelling scene that you need to get a nomination for anything. And you were talking about subtlety. Michael Keaton is a much more restrained performance. So I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, I hope they don't give it to Revenant, even though I can admire the visual artistry of that film. I mean, when you compare it to what Spotlight is about, I mean, what do you have here? A guy that was buried alive in the 1820s, and he's like, you know, and he's out for revenge. I mean, that's what the whole movie is about, really, and it's about survival. And not only that, the director of that movie, Alejandro Iñárritu, says that the movie, all he wanted to do in the movie is show human suffering and pain. I mean, that, you know, I think he succeeded on that level.
George Bush II would say.
Yeah.
Listen, I talked to Rudy Giuliani this week about Spotlight. You know, he grew up in Roman Catholic schools. His whole life, and he said, I knew that existed, but I never saw it. So he said that was one of the hardest movies for him to watch as a Roman Catholic, but he admired it, and he actually thinks it will win Best Picture.
Rudy Giuliani, movie critic. When did that happen?
Oh, he used to do, didn't he do for New York One, or that was,
what are you talking
How am I doing?
Oh, that was D'Amato.
That was, no, not D'Amato.
Koch. Our roundtable is.
Yeah, New York mayors like to do.
Our roundtable is Senator Alphonse D'Amato. It used to be
Ed Koch.
The late Ed Koch. And now we have Anthony Weiner, and we also have.
And they review movies?
No, they talk
Koch
about what's
did.
Going
no,
on
Koch
in
did.
Politics for
right,
the
no,
week.
No, but Koch did for a long time.
Koch was a movie critic
so,
for a while.
Yeah, Giuliani is a big movie fan, too. He goes to all the festivals.
I'll tell you a great Koch story is that I was in a movie. I went to a movie about 15, 20 years ago. Just regular, bought a ticket and went to a movie. And Koch just coincidentally is sitting next to me. And this is not a press screening. It's not a premiere. It's just anybody could have bought a ticket. And I said, "Oh, Mr. Mayor, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm Neil Rosen. I'm the movie critic for New York One." He goes, I'm a movie critic, too. That's how he built himself.
And that's when the fight broke out.
And he was very proud of being a movie critic.
Speaking of people who died, Alan Rickman. He was not big on awards, acting awards, and he was never nominated for an Oscar. But he said, it's not actors who get awards. It's actually the role. It's the role that you can spot a role, and anyone could play it.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyone could play it, but I see his point. Yeah, if you don't have the right role, you're not going to get awards.
I feel Alan Rickman. I've interviewed him, and he was really nice. Anybody who doesn't know Alan Rickman, he's not the Snape character. He was just
he's
warm,
also not the
loving guy.
The,
you know,
the guy. He'd been in this country for 2 days when he got cast in Die Hard, and he wasn't Hans Gruber either. He wasn't that kind, but he was so great in that role.
But, I loved him in Love Actually.
Love Actually is one of my favorite.
He's terrific in that.
Deeply. Early film.
Truly Madly Deeply.
Great.
He's great film.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Such a heartbreaking movie. About.
It is.
You should rent that if you haven't seen it.
Bad week for deaths. I mean, I know we do movies here, but Glenn Frey, the co-founder of the Eagles. I mean, you know.
And David Bowie.
Yeah. He did some act. He's in Miami Vice. He was in Jerry Maguire. You know, most people don't remember that. But it's been
David Bowie, who was in the original Zoolander.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
That's true. He'll be remembered for that over the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and Hunky Dory. It will be his part in Zoolander. Before we go, let me just ask two quick questions here. Has this, you know, they nominated 8 pictures for Best Picture this year. They can go up to 10. How's that working out? In your opinion?
Not really well. And you know why? Because they can only pick 5. I think that...
Well, it used to be 5. For 15
right,
years,
and
it was 5.
I talked to a voter this morning who's a screenwriter, and he said he wishes there were only 5 this year. He wishes there were only 5 nominated. He would kick 3 out, and he wouldn't tell me which ones,
but I
can guess them.
I disagree. I think this year, for the first time, it's working the way they wanted it to because more mainstream movies got nominated. Mad Max, The Martian, as you were saying, those are very solid popcorn movies. I think they should have made room for Creed in there, probably.
That's a great point, though, but the embarrassment is they could have gotten Creed and Straight Outta Compton in for number 9. And number 10,
yeah.
And they didn't
right.
do it.
True.
Right. That makes them look even worse.
No, I
You're
think
absolutely
they,
right.
I think they're not going to go back to 5 because it's working finally the way they were hoping it would work in some way.
There are
in
rumors.
That direction.
There is a talk, though, that of them possibly doing
they
it,
were.
Isn't there?
I think that's going to end this year, though. Before this year, they were talking about going back to 5.
Was it an experiment when they started it a number of years ago, or was it like we're just going to do this from now on? Or was it just
an experiment. It was the Dark Knight failed to get. Wasn't it the Dark Knight that failed? They made the more money than anything else, and everybody said nobody watches the Oscars because the movies people
well,
go to never get
look
nominated.
At Star Wars.
But then they went up to 10, and we got 10 independent movies the next year, 9 independent movies the next year.
But that's my point, that this year you've got a wider range of movies.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so
definitely.
And it was an experiment at first. They said, we'll see what's going to happen. They can always go back.
Well, the big studios got some nominations. That's part of it, too.
And Chris Rock.
Warner Brothers got a nomination. They're crying for nominations.
So Chris Rock is the host this year. As I said, Jada Pinkett Smith said, to step down, and as I said at the top of the show, humor is a powerful tool. I think he'll do really well. How do you think? I'm looking forward to Chris Rock.
Oh, I totally am. I think unfortunately, because of the white Oscar thing, that this is going to get ratings through the roof, at least the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, that monologue is, and I think your idea, I don't know if you came up with this or if you read it somewhere,
I came up with it.
That's
maybe
brilliant, Karen.
Too. It's not the only.
Put the snub people into the opening montage.
That would be great.
Bring them in.
Maybe it has a dream sequence or something. It's like, the world the way it should be, and you know, Idris Elba's getting up there accepting an Oscar, you know, and Michael B. Jordan is sitting in the. I mean, yeah, that they should put all those people in the. Yeah, do
or maybe
that.
They're all in Chris's green room, like
exactly.
they're having a party before the Oscar.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right. Well, anyway, that's our Oscar prediction show for this year. We'll be sitting around talking about what are we talking about next week? We're talking about The Intern with Anne Hathaway,
Chirac,
and
we talked about
right, Chirac, Mojave, a movie. Movie where Mark Wahlberg makes an appearance and Walton Goggins makes an appearance and
Amnesia, is that what it's called? The Tim
Anesthesia. And Oscar Isaacs is in that film and Hedlund stars in that film. And we're also going to be talking about one of my favorite movies of the year that comes on demand and on DVD next week, which is Diary of a Teenage Girl, which I think is terrific. And we're also going to be talking about, and we said Chirac, you know
right.
what I mean? So,
by the way, before we go, the opening of the Oscars, the cold opening, should be Chris Rock backstage with Michael B. Jordan, Idris Elba, and he's got the keys to where they keep the Oscars, and he's just handing them out to them.
That'd be good.
Get in the limo and leave right now.
He gives them the chance to give the speech they would have given.
That's funny, yeah. All of this and more.
All of this and more. Thanks for sitting around talking movies with us this week, and we'll see you next week on Sitting Around Talking Movies.